Okay, last week we started the sugya of Shemitas Ksafim, and we started it because it related to last week's parsha, and it's somehow related to the daf in a roundabout way, and it relates to what I'm learning in yeshiva this year, but we didn't get as far as I wanted to get in the sugya. We didn't get to the real lambda, so I want to go through, again, some of the issues of Shemitas Ksafim. I could not find all of the Mar Makavos packets around the shul from last week. I found a few of them, so I hope whoever's here has, and whoever comes in late. Nope, that's what you get when you come in late, I guess. So we started last week to discuss what the lamdus is of Shemitas Ksafim. The basic idea is that every time you lend somebody money, there's an understanding that in the seventh year, in the Shemitah year, at some point during the Shemitah year, we'll get to when exactly it happens, the loan gets cancelled, then the person doesn't have to pay you back once Shemitah passes. But and we discussed last week what the reasons for such a mitzvah would be, such a dindah raisa, that Shemitah would cancel the loan, and we suggested three different or four different, five different possible reasons for such halacha. We also discussed whether it applies bizman hazeh, whether there's still a din of Shemitas Ksafim bizman hazeh, and we suggested that it's at most midrabanan bizman hazeh. Good, that was our discussion last week. But we didn't get into, we just started to touch the tip of the iceberg about the fundamental machlokas rishon by Shemitas Ksafim. So here's what happens. After the Shemitah year, someone comes over to you that owes you money and says, I have the money to pay you back. You have a responsibility to tell the person, Meshamet anilach. Don't worry, Shemitah happened, you don't have any responsibility to pay me back. That is your achrayis, that's your chiyuv d'araisa, to tell him that he has no responsibility to pay you back. Let's say you don't say that. Let's say you didn't tell him that he has no responsibility to pay you back. He comes and he offers you the money after Shemitah, and you just don't say a word, you leave it be. You say, okay, thank you. Does he still have to pay you the money? Do we assume that Shemitah automatically cancels the loan? Or do we assume that Shemitah can't, you have a chiyuv to cancel the loan yourself when Shemitah comes? Meaning, nothing happens magically, automatically, min hashamayim. It's that we have a mitzvah to cancel a loan, just like we can cancel any other loan. If I lend somebody money today, and tomorrow I decide to be mochel, that's perfectly fine and legitimate. I'm allowed to be mochel. Shemitah is mandatory mechila, that the Torah requires that I be mochel, but it only works if I'm actually mochel. This is the chakira that they call, is it afka'asa de malka? Is it that the hafka'a of the king, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the loan cancel? Or is it my personal chiyuv, my mitzvah to be meshamet the loan? L'may nafkamine, either way, I'm not allowed to collect after Shemitah, because I have to cancel the loan, I have to be mochel. So what would the nafkamina be? So there are several nafkaminas lahalacha in this fundamental chakira. If you look, Rav Asher Weiss spells out the chakira in the most clear way in Minchas Asher, Maseches Gittin, in the very back of the packet, for whoever still has the packet, on after page 11, I didn't mark the pages, page 12, but in the very back of the packet, where it says Simen Nun Tes in big bold letters, the third to last page, I guess. Simen Nun Tes. He starts, Nechleku arishonim biyisod din Shemitas Ksafim. There is a machlokas rishon about the basis of the din of Shemitas Ksafim. Im havi afka'asa de malka? Is it that it's a hafka'a, it's a removal of the king? Da ha-Torah hishmita es ha-chovos b'sof shnas ha-shmita, that the Torah takes away all debts at the end of the Shemitah year. Ve'ein ha-davar tali klal b'ashmatas ha-malvo mechilaso. And it has nothing to do with the lender being mochel the loan. Oh, the mitzvah ha-Torah hi al ha-malvo l'hashmit. Or maybe no. Maybe it's a mitzvah on the malva to be mashmit v'limchol and to be mochel the loan. That's what it sounds like in the Pesukim, that he has a requirement to be mochel alone. Because man shelo hishmit hamalva chovo, and as long as the malva was not mochel his chov, yeshchiv mamoni v'shibud alalav l'shalim. The borrower would still have a responsibility to pay, the chov would still be there, would still exist, if the malva doesn't cancel the loan. So the obvious nafkamina is, if I'm a lova, if I'm a borrower, and I want to know, after Shemitah, my malva is not a nice guy, or he doesn't know the halacha, and he never told me that he's canceling the loan, do I have a chiyuv to pay? If you hold that Shemitah is afkasa de malcha, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu canceled the loan, I have no chiyuv to pay, it'll be awesome for me to pay maybe, I don't know, the loan is canceled. Not awesome, we're not going to say that over here, but it would be no obligation. But if you assume that it's a his chiyuv to be mochel, so just because he didn't do his mitzvah, it doesn't mean that I don't know the money. I mean, he didn't do his mitzvah, that's his problem. But the fact that he didn't do the mitzvah means I still owe the money, that the chov still exists. That would be the simplest nafkamina. Another nafkamina, what if the creditor, the malva, takes the money from the borrower without telling him that the debt is cancelled? Meaning, I owe somebody money, so I give the money, and he says, thank you very much. And he takes it, he takes the money. So, did he violate stealing? Is he a ganav? If you hold that it's afka asa demalka, he took money under false pretenses. He took money that didn't belong to him. So that's certainly a violation of stealing. But if you hold that it's not afka asa demalka, it's his personal chiyuv, it's his mitzvah saseh, that he's got to be mishamit alone, okay, so it's not stealing. He took money that was rightfully his. So the Manav Kamina, which Averi did, well, we have to keep score of everyone's Averos to know what kind of Rasha he is. If he's a grade A Rasha or a grade B Rasha. So it does have a big Nav Kamina. Is he possible Eidos? Let's say you ask him to be your Eid Kiddushin. Are you married? That could be a very big Nav Kamina if he's possible Eidos, because the halacha is that someone who's chashud on Gneva, and someone who's a ganav, is pasul eidos. Anytime someone would compromise his principle for money, his principles for money, which every ganav is assumed to be someone who compromises principles for money, is pasul eidos automatically. And then there are other averus also that could pasul a person eidos. But anyone who compromises his principles for money is pasul eidos. But maybe just being mevatel a mitzvah saseh, because he didn't know to say Meshavet Leninloch, but he's not a Ganav, maybe being Vassal to say, maybe doesn't Pasol him La'edos. So that might be another Nafkamina. Another Nafkamina might be the following. The Mishnah says in Shavuos that you have to say Meshavet Leninloch, that I'm being Mochel alone. Now, it doesn't, the Zeruah explains that that does not mean that he has to say that he completely gives up the debt in order for it to be cancelled. Meaning him saying it doesn't make it happen, the Arzurua says. It's a reflection of what the Torah already has done. So why does he have to say it? Meaning if you hold afka asa demalcha, why do I have to say those words? If you hold it's my mitzvah, it's not just my mitzvah, but it's what my words is what cancels the loan. As the lender, the loan is only cancelled if I say it. So I understand why I have to say it, because the mitzvah is to make the loan go away. And the only way the debt will go away is if I say it. But if you hold this up, why do I have to say it? There's a mitzvah to say it. It's clear that you have to say it. Why? What's the purpose? So it could be, or Zeruah sounds like he holds, that I have to say it if the borrower tries to pay me. But there's no chiyuv to say it if he doesn't try to pay me. It's only if he's unaware that it's already been cancelled, and therefore he comes and tries to pay me, then that triggers my mitzvah to say it. So big nafkamina would turn out. If you hold the tzafka asa de malka, I don't have to say it. I could wait till he comes to me, offers it, then I have a chiv to say that I'm a shamit. But if he doesn't offer it, I don't have to say that I'm a shamit. But if it when it comes to, if you hold that it's my mechila that makes the loan go away, so then I have to say it. Even if he never offers to pay, that's my mitzvah. My mitzvah is to be mochel the debt. So that's what I would have to do anyway. Another nafkamina.
You have to say it to him.
Yeah, to him. You have to say it to him.
Proactively go.
Right. So you, it would turn out you have to proactively go find him and say it to him. Yeah. Another nafkamina might be, let's say I refuse to give up the loan, and I go and I take something that belongs to him. Good, I go, let's not use me in this example, because the person's going to die in this example. So let's say you have a lender who refuses. He says, Reuven, we always kill off Reuven in every example, whoever Reuven is. So Reuven lent Shimon money, Shimon borrowed the money, and Reuven wants his money back, and he goes to Shimon's house, and he takes money from Shimon, and then Reuven dies. So according to the Rov Rishonim, Shimon can come and take his money back from the Yorshim, because that was Geneva, that was stealing. According to the Shita Sayyareim, which is the Shita that holds that it's only when the lender says Meshamitani that the loan is actually cancelled, and prior to him saying Meshamitani, or in the absence of him saying Meshamitani, the loan is still there, well then Reuven wasn't stealing anything, he was taking what was rightfully his. And if he was taking what was rightfully his, Midine Mamunas, he just didn't do his mitzvah of canceling the loan, but Midine Mamunas, who's rightfully his, it wasn't his Yarshim's mitzvah to cancel the loan, it was his mitzvah to cancel the loan. The Yarshim have money that rightfully Midine Mamunas belonged to their father. Shimon can now not come to the Yarshim and ask for that money back. That money belonged to Reuven. He was a Rasha for not, you know, observing the laws of Shemitah's Ksafim, but the money was his money. So that would be another nafkamina in this Chakira. Another nafkamina that one might suggest, especially Bismanenu, when Shemitah's Ksafim is only Drabanan, is what would happen if you have a Safek about Shemitah. What's the normal halacha by Safek when it comes to Dinei Mamonos? So the normal halacha is, it's interesting, in every different area of halacha, there are different rules of Safek. It's this week's parsha. This will be our connection to this week's parsha. In this week's parsha, in Parsha Shoftim, Pasuk says, it's always good to have a chumash on hand, Pasuk says toward the beginning of the parsha, I know because I'm up to it already in Shnayim Mikra, so it's got to be at the beginning. Pasuk says, it's not yet Shabbos morning, I'm already up to it. So, just wanted to find it inside. But the Pasuk says, Bein dam l'dam, bein din l'din, bein nega l'nega. Right? That there are three types of cases. There's cases of dam l'dam, din l'din, and nega l'nega. So that I think they say, b'shem the Gra. I think the Gra in Aderes Aliyahu says it. That refers to three different areas of Torah, which each have their own set of rules of how to govern those areas of Torah. Dam l'dam, din l'din, nega l'nega. Dam l'dam refers to Isser v'heter. That dam is dam nida, so it's that's what Rashi points out on the spot. So it's Isser v'heter. Din l'din is din imamunis. And nega l'nega, which refers to tzara'as, is tuma and tahara. Tzara'as is clearly an issue of a Mesechus Negayim, obviously is in Taharos, so that's an issue of Tumah and Tahara. Now, each of those three areas of Halacha, and by the way, that's a Chiddush, that Bein Dam L'Dam is Isser V'Heter. Because one could have argued, where's Mesechus Nida? It's also in Taharos. And Mesechus Nida is all about Taharos, the whole Mesechta is about Taharos. It's very, very, it's a very big Chiddush to say that Bein Dam L'Dam reflects the paradigm of Isser V'Heter. I would think Kashrus is the paradigm of Isser V'Heter. But Bein Dam L'Dam, that's the comment of the Kuzari, that the Kuzari has, that the Melech asks, why is it that you still observe Hilchas Nida if you don't observe any Taharos anymore? So the answer is that there's Svei Dinim in Hilchas Nida. There's a Din of Tum and Tahara in Hilchas Nida, but there's also a Din of Isser V'Heter. There's an Isser L'Baila, and that's a regular Yoredeya Isser V'Heter type of issue. That's not just a Taharos type of issue. So we don't observe Taharos anymore, but we still observe Nida, because it's a din of Isser V'Heter. So these are the three areas of halacha. What do you do when you have a suffix? Bein dam l'dam, you have a suffix in Isser V'Heter. So Isser V'Heter, you have a suffix. The halacha is suffix d'oraisa l'chumra, suffix d'rabbanan l'kula. That's the most famous rule of suffix. What about bein din l'din? You have a suffix in din imamnis. So what do you do with the suffix in din imamnis? I'm not sure if you owe me money or not. So the halacha is Gan Shas, not necessarily, Hamotzi Mechaveiro Lafaraya. That if I want to get you to pay me something, I have to prove it. I, Savi Darais Lechumra, Darabana Lekula. That's what Bali told us to point out. It's ridiculous. He can't say Lechumra Lekula. Because what are you going to say? Lechumra, he has to pay me? That's a big kula for me. That's not a chumra for me. Whenever you have two people against each other, you can't say Lechumra Lekula. Wouldn't seem to make sense. A group of Rishon think it does make sense to say Chumra and Kula, and the Chumra is always to pay. Paying is always the Chumra. Even though, Klape, the other guy, it seems like a kula, but that's how we always label a chumra. But for whatever reason, we say Amotzi Mechaveiro Lavaraya when we talk about Bein Din L'Din. Bein Nega L'Nega, when it comes to Tumah and Tahara, what do you do in a case of Safek, a Safek Tumah? So the rule is, Safek Tumah, and we learn it from Sota, from the Parsha of Sota, which is also interesting, because Sota doesn't seem to be about Tumah and Tahara. Sota seems to be about Isser V'Heter, yet we use Sota as the source for the rules of Safek by Tumah and Tahara, because the Torah uses the word Tumah when it describes the Sota's actions, even though it doesn't really mean Tumah, it means that she cheated on her husband, which is Isser V'Heter. But since it uses the word Tumah, we use that as the source for what to do in cases of Sveikos of Tumah. So what do we do when we're not sure about a Safek Tumah? It depends. Safek Tumah Bereshus HaRabim Tahar. Safek Tumah Bereshus HaYachid is Tameh. from the fact that we assume the sota is guilty. She becomes asura labaila only when she was in a rishus hayachid with this fellow, when she was biyichud with this fellow. So that's the din of tumentara when you have a suffix. So each of these three areas of Torah have their own set of rules, and this is the best example to demonstrate that is the case of suffix. What about a case of suffix shmitas ksafim? So if you hold Shemitah's Kesafim is purely, it's a dinim mamonis issue, and it's just that the Torah tells me that the person has to be, according to most Rishonim, the we should say amotim mechaver olav araya. According to the way the Rov Rishonim understand it, that mitzvah Shemitah is not to be mochel money you are owed, but it actually makes it that the money isn't yours. It's afka asa de malcha, that Hashem takes away the money from you. So then, amotim mechaver olav araya. You want to take money that doesn't belong to you? You can't take money that doesn't belong to you. It was already canceled. Hashem may have canceled the loan. Oh, you claim that since it's a suffix, so you want to claim that, no, this loan wasn't canceled or whatever. But then it's hamotzi mechaver olav araya. It's purely a dinei mamonos issue. It's a question of whether it's your money or his money. But if you say that it's always going to be the lender's money until I tell him I'm ochel it, the only question is, do I have a requirement? In the case of suffix, it means I have a suffix whether I have a mitzvah to tell him I'm ochel it. But whose money is it? It's definitely my money. It's just a question whether I have a mitzvah to tell him I'm ochel it. Well, then, safik d'rabbanan l'kula. I shouldn't have to tell him I'm ochel, and he should have to pay me the money. So I'll be another nafkamina in this significant debate, whether Shemitah's Kesafim is an automatic, or whether Shemitah's Kesafim is something that only happens if I do it, if I actually make it happen. That is the fundamental dispute by Shemitah's Kesafim. Rav Asher Weiss in Minchas Asher Maseches Gittin, and this does not appear, and he has a piece in Minchas Asher on Sefer Devarim as well, and this part of it, it's word for word the same exact piece, except he added in parentheses something in the Sefer on Gittin that he didn't have in Minchas Asher on Chumash. He suggests the following parallel machlokas. So again, our machlokas was about Shemitah's Kesafim. Does it happen automatically, or is it not happen automatically? I have a chiyuv to be mochel, and it's only when I'm mochel that the chov goes away. So he says, we have a parallel machlokas when it comes to ribbis, when it comes to the iser to charge interest to somebody. The Ritva Maseches Kiddushin Davavam Ralef says that there's a chiyuv mamon on the lovet to pay back the ribbis. If I borrow money, and the deal was that I'm supposed to pay back with interest, I'm not allowed to make the deal, it's an issur on me, it's an issur on him, it's an issur on everybody, the lender, the borrower, doesn't matter, but I did it, and that was the deal, so do I have a chiyuv mamon to pay it back, to actually give him the ribbis? And therefore, if the malva takes the money back, the ribbis money, and he uses that money to be mekadesh anisha, would be mekudeshes. That's always the best nafkamina. Whenever you want to know whether something belongs to somebody, you just make, whatever the halach is, you just make kiddushe isha, the condition. I remember when I was in yeshiva, when I was in Karen Biavne, so there were several rebbeim there that whose hashkafos did not exactly match the hezder hashkafa of the yeshiva. So the Rosh Yeshiva at the time that I was there, it was already Rav Mordechai Greenberg, who was Talmud of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook and a very, very big Zionist. And he was sitting on a panel with one of the other Rebbeim who learned in Chevron, and, was a Talmud, I think, of Rav Shlomo Zalman, learned in Kol Torah, was a Talmud of Shlomo Zalman, and had a different view of Medinat Yisrael than the Rosh Yeshiva had. So at a question and answer session, someone raised their hand and said, is Medinat Yisrael Reshus Smichas Kulasenu? That was his question and answer. So they said, who's the question for? He said, for everybody, I want everyone to answer it. So the other Rebbe said, the Mai Nafkamina. So the Rebbe said, when I was in Kol Torah, someone asked Rav Shlomo Zalman this question. And Rav Shlomo Zalman responded, the Mai Nafkamina. What difference does it make? If it is Reish Smich Skul Hasein, do you have to learn Torah? You have to learn Torah. Do you have to live in Eretz Yisrael? Yeah, you should live in Eretz Yisrael. If it's not Reish Smich Skul Hasein, you have to learn Torah? Yeah, you have to learn Torah. You have to live in Eretz Yisrael. Mai Nafkamina. And this... So he said, when I was in Kol Torah, the person who asked the question told Rav Shlomo Zalman, what if you're Mekadish Nisha al Tanai, that Medina Yisrael is Reishis Michas Gulosainu, is she Mekadeshas, Reinu Mekadeshas? That's always the example you can give as a Nafkamina. So everyone laughed, and then he never answered the question. So that's always the easy Nafkamina. But over here, it's Mamash Nafkamina, meaning if the guy doesn't own the money, if I charge ribbis and then the person pays it, he pays me this extra money, and then I use it, that money to be Mekadesh and Isha, is she Mekadeshes or is she not Mekadeshes? Is it a mitzvah baba vera? Probably not, because you could always be Mekadesh something else, meaning it's not. Yeah, and money is transferable. I mean, it's not like an asteroid or something. Probably not. But the question is Shima Kudashas, is it gezel biyadi? Meaning, is it stealing when I take that money? So the Ritva holds that the chi of mamon still exists. The Chazanish in Ebenezer, Sim Membez, Os Aleph says can't be. He says it's impossible that there should be a shibud where the Torah says that you're not allowed to actually fulfill that shibud. I mean, what does the Ritva envision? Asks Chazanish. A guy borrows money by ribbis, he has an issur d'oraisa, so he's not allowed to pay it back. But if he doesn't pay it back, he's stealing. What's he supposed to do? He has a chiyuv mamon to pay it back, but if he pays it back, he's in violation of an issur d'oraisa. Chazanish says it's absurd, it's ridiculous, you can't have such a thing. It's impossible. So that's a machlokas when it comes to ribbis, a very similar machlokas. Do we assume that the fact that it's ribbis automatically cancels the chov? Or do we assume, no, it doesn't cancel the chov, it's that the lender has an obligation to say, I'm not going to charge you ribbis. But so long as he doesn't say it, there's still a chiyuv mamon there. Nafkaminas over there would be, if there's an issur gezel, like we said, when it comes to collecting. And Rav Asher Weiss points out a couple of other nafkaminas also. He points out that in the Shar Deya, the author of the Shar Mishpat in Hilchas Ribbis, says, what about if you have a loveh, Shehemir Dasa. He becomes totally religious, he converts to a different religion, something like that, after he's already Lova Bribis. Can the Malvin now collect the Ribis? Why? Why would he be allowed to? Because there is a Shita that once he's Hemir Dasa, that if you have a Jew who converts out of the religion, he's Dino Kigoi Legabe Ribis. Very fascinating. There are certain halachos, they say a Jew is a Jew is a Jew. And you can't, no such thing as converting out of the religion, he's always a Jew. And there are certain halachos where we say he's dino ka'akut, being mitzarif him to a minion. You can't be mitzarif someone who converted to Christianity to a minion. He's a Jew, he has a neshama, he still can't be mitzarif him to a minion. Yet he's a Jew, he's still chayiv in every mitzvah the same way a Jew is chayiv in every mitzvah. So there are certain halachos that will consider him a non-Jew for. So for ribbis, we consider him a non-Jew. If the chiyuv mamon is there, and it's just that I have an obligation as the lender to tell him that he doesn't have to pay me the ribbis, but the chiyuv mamon is there so long as I don't say it, well, if he then converted to Christianity or to Islam or whatever, after I lent him the money, well, then that my chiyuv goes away to tell him goodbye. The chiyuv mamon is still there. I don't have to say that I'm not going to collect, and I'm therefore allowed to collect the money ribbis. But if you hold that any loaning of money, beribis, between two Jews, is automatically cancelled, that any such loan automatically goes away, it doesn't exist. There is no chiyuv ribis. There can't be a chiyuv ribis. Like the Chazanish says, that it's impossible that there would be a chiyuv ribis in the first place, a chiyuv mamon on ribis in the first place. So it doesn't matter that he converted to Christianity afterwards. The loan was never a loan. The ribis part of the deal was never a deal. Because that can't take hold in halacha. So that would be another nafkamina in that case. A third nafkamina in that case of the ribbis would be, Shardai also raises a suffix, what if you have a svek sveka beribbis? Are we motzi mamon based on the svek sveka? Now normally, we assume this rule of hamotzi mechaveru alav haraya that we spoke about before, the din of hamotzi mechaveru alav haraya. What if you have a svek sveka in your favor that would say that he would have to pay you back? I'm the lender, and I want him to pay me back, and there's a svek sveka that would say that he has to pay me back. Does he have to pay me back, or do I still need to bring a raya, irrefutable proof that I'm right? So generally speaking, in dini mamnas, the halacha is svek sveka is not enough. You need absolute proof, and without proof, he doesn't have to pay you back a penny. Even though svek sveka works perhaps midin rov, or however it works, doesn't help. In holchin b'mamon achar rov, doesn't matter. He doesn't have to pay me back. In isur v'heter, even though normally we'll say savit arayis l'chumra, savit arayis l'chula, that's when you have one sefek. When you have two svekos, when you have a svek sveka, you always go in the direction of the svek sveka, wherever the svek sveka points you. For example, what's a classic example of a svek sveka? in halacha. If, let's say, I'm not sure if I benched. Good? I'm also not sure if I ate. So there's a chance that I didn't eat. And even if I did eat, I might have benched. So that would be svek sveka. That would tell me not to bench. It's pointing in the direction of not benching. It's a bad example because something brachas lahakal anyway, but that's what may not apply to birchas hamazon or daraisa, but just the, conceptually, that would be a classic svek. What if you have a svek sveka on a ribbis case? So if you hold that there is a chiv mamon that he has to pay me back, the chiv mamon exists, it's just that I have an obligation to not accept the money, and that's my own iser v'heter obligation, to say that I don't want to violate the iser of ribbis, but it's only an iser. Well then, I could say svek sveka, I'm allowed to take the money, because it's rightfully mine. But if you say that no, there is no chiv mamon when it comes to ribbis, there is no chiv mamon at all. When you have a svek sveka, then I would not be allowed to take the money. Motzi mechaver ola faraya. You'd have to prove it. So these are several nafkaminas in that case, in the case of ribbis. Now the way Rav Asher Weiss says it in his sefer is, well, wait a second. We had two machlokas so far. We had a machlokas when it comes to shmitas ksafim, where the Urayim holds that when I am mochel, that's when the chov goes away. But absent my mechila, the chov is still there. It's not afka asa demalka. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make the chov go away. I need to be mochel the chov. And then you have the same machlokas, or a similar machlokas, when it comes to ribbis, where the ritva says, when I am mochel, the chov goes away. If I'm not mochel, the chiv of ribbis is still there. So the way Rav Asher says it, what's the chazanish going to do with the Urayim? The Chazanish who says it can't be that there's a chiv to pay back the money of ribbis. It can't be. It's impossible. It must be that the chiv goes away automatically. So what do you do with the Urayim? In the case of the Urayim also, it should be that it can't be that there's a chiv to pay back after Shemitah. It should go away automatically because that's the halacha that it's supposed to go away. It can't be that the chiv moment stays. How's the Chazanish going to answer for that Urayim? So the simple answer is, the Chazanish has to answer for the Urayim. Chazanish could say, yeah, we don't pasken like that Urayim. The Urayim is outvoted, and I'm pasken like all the other Rishonim, like the Rov Rishonim, the Arzaruah, and many, many other Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashba. All the other Rishonim line up against the Urayim. So I don't have to be achrei for every Shita and Rishonim. I remember when I was in Yeshiva once, we asked one of the Rebbeim, one of the Rebbeim said a Hol Mahalich, Rav Blachman, Rav Mendel Blachman, gave a Hol Mahalich in a Sugya, and someone said to him, but Rebbe, what are you going to do with the Rav Elchanan? And he said, I'll light a candle for him. What do you want me to do with Rav Elchanan? I'm not a chray for every Rav Elchanan. Yeah, he was a very big tzaddik, very big Talmud Chacham. I'll light a candle for him. You don't have to be a chray for every svara that was ever said by any achron or any rishon if it's outvoted la halacha. So the Chazanish maybe argues on the Urayim. That would be the simple way. It could also be that there's a very big difference between the two cases. When it comes to ribbis, when did the avera of ribbis happen? If you lend somebody money, and the deal was that he's supposed to pay you back, 10% interest. So when does the avera happen?
Right away.
As soon as you make such a deal, you're already violated. The whole thing me'ikaro was a problem. When you lend somebody money, and then Shemitah comes and cancels it, or should cancel it, or you have a chiv to cancel it, whatever, when does the avera happen?
Later on,
at the Shas Maisa, when it comes time for payment. That's the only time for potential of an avera. At the time of the loan, it was a perfectly legitimate loan. There's nothing wrong with it. So it could be that the Urayim would say that there's still a Chiyuv Mamon because there once was a legitimate Chiyuv Mamon here. So that legitimate Chiyuv Mamon remains intact. That's going to remain in place because it really was a legitimate Chiyuv Mamon. But the Chazanish is going to say, yeah, that's fine when it comes to Shemitah. But when it comes to Ribbis, there never was a legitimate Chiyuv Mamon. The whole thing was Be'isser Mitchilas of Yad Sofa. So there's no way that there's a legitimate Chiyuv Mamon. Also, when it comes to Ribbis, whose Avera is it? It's a little counterintuitive. not counterintuitive, but beyond what our intuition would say. We would have thought, if you'd ask a, you know, just a svara, you know, a baich svara from anyone on the street without knowing anything, if there's an, assuming you have a religion that has a law that you're not allowed to charge interest, a usury law, so who should the isser be on? So that's the halacha, is that it's on everyone. But I probably would have said that it's you shouldn't be a loan shark. That it's an isser on the lender. The borrower knows what he's getting into. It's not his isser. He's the nebuch, the victim. But the halacha is, like you're saying, Larry, the halacha is that it's an isser on everyone. It's a daraisa on both the malva and the lova from the beginning. You're not allowed to be the victim either of ribbis. So it's an isser on everybody. By shmitas ksafim. If I pay the guy back and the guy takes his money back, whose isser is it? Shmitas ksafim. It's only the lender's isser. There's no isser on the borrower at all. So it could be the Yerayim is going to say by shmitas ksafim, there's a chov there, because klape the borrower, when it comes to the borrower's perspective, there's nothing wrong with him paying it back. There's no problem with him paying. What was the Chazon Ish's whole taina on the Ritva in the case of Ribbis? Chazon Ish says it's lo yuman, can't possibly be. It's not something that's mekabel al adas to say that I have an avera to pay him back because I'm not allowed to pay someone back Ribbis, but it's stealing if I don't pay him back. What am I supposed to do as the borrower? By Shemitah, you have no such problem because I have no avera to pay him back. He may have an issur to accept it without telling me that he's Meshamit, but there's no avera to pay him back. So, what? It's not Lifnei Iver. It's not Lifnei Iver. Because he could say Meshamit Ani, and then if I say Afal Pikein, he can take it. Which is also a fascinating idea, but it's a true idea. Meaning, this is actually Rabbi Rimon in his Sefer on Shemitah, writes that the Shitas HaYerayim really could solve a lot of problems. Again, what's the Shitas here? The Yerayim is the one that holds that Shemitah only cancels when the lender cancels it, when he says Meshamin. Otherwise, the Chiv Mammon is still there to pay back the loan. So he says, this explains so much, because the Yerushalmi in Shavias, in the 10th parak of Shavias, says that you have to tell him that you release the Chov, but at the same time, as you're saying it, you can stick out your hand and wink a little bit. You know, I release it. Just sort of make a motion that you wouldn't, you know, your hand is open, you wouldn't mind taking it. Yerushalmi says, B'shem Rav Huna, that, you know, with your lips moving, saying one thing, your hand could be outstretched saying something else. What's going on? What kind of joke is that? And you're saying one thing and your hand's outstretched saying something else. So it could be that fundamentally, the chov exists. Chiv Mamon, the Chov exists. And if the guy has the money, he has to pay what he owes. It's just that I have no right to the lender has no right to demand it. He can't demand the loan, because everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Shemitah makes it that way, so I can't demand it. But the Chiv Mamon is there. So I have to say that I'm not demanding anything. But if he wants to pay it, it's still mine. It's not that he's giving me a matana. Not just a matana. He's paying back that chov, because that chov really exists. And it's a mitzvah for him to do so. He has a mitzvah to do so. It's not Lifnei Iver Adrab, it's a mitzvah. It sounds that way from the Bavli also. In Gittin, Daflam, Zayinim, Beis, Rabbah says that even after he says Meshamit Anilach, he could still pressure him a little bit. Meaning, you know, do you have it? Are the funds available? You know, can't demand it, but a little bit of pressure, and the Gemara used the lashon of matana, and says you can pressure till he decides to give it to you as a matana, but it may not mean matana. It may mean that there's still some sort of actual chov that exists on some level, whatever level that may be. So these are two parallel machloks, meaning that we have perhaps a parallel, but perhaps not parallel, as we've seen. Another machlokas that may also be a parallel machlokas is about a different halacha in Shemitah. The halacha is if things grow in your field during Shemitah. So you're not allowed to work your field, you're not allowed to lock your field, you're not allowed to keep everyone out. What happens to all the peros that are growing in your field during Shemitah? Hefker. It has to be open to everybody. It's a major issue, obviously, with farmers during the Shemitah year. They can't run their business because it has to be hefker, it has to be open to everybody. When you buy Shemitah produce, you buy a bottle of wine next year or in 2 years that says oats are based in on it. Well, the concept of oats are based in is important to just be familiar with what the basic concept is that, yeah, it's hefker, but it would be complete chaos if everyone was just running through everyone else's fields. So, and it's very difficult for it to have a normal distribution of produce with everyone just running around like chickens without heads from field to field. So Beis Din says, you know what, it's hefker. We're just going to take over the field to go through the normal production, and then we'll give it out. Meaning we'll distribute it as hefker. But we're not charging anything for it. Everything is free. So how come you pay for the bottle of wine when you buy the Otzer Beis Din Shemitah wine? Because it costs Beis Din some money just to run the production, but there's no profit. That's the yisod. There has to be zero profit. Why is it sometimes the Otzer Beis Din wine costs more than another bottle of wine? And that the quality of the wine matters and where it grew and it, that's a problem. That means that there's a major problem with the Otzer Beis Din system. That's a different issue. There are people working on this. There's a Jew in Lawrence who spent a lot of time over the last 7 years working with Gedolei Yisrael from across the spectrum to try to fix the Otzer Beis Din system. But a different story for a different time. This halacha, though, that the fruits have to be hefker. So how does that work? Well, let's say I'm not mafkirit, and the guy comes into my field and takes the fruits. Is he a ganav? Meaning, do you assume that it's afkasa demalka or hefkera demalka, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu made it hefker? Or do we assume that, no, I have a personal chiyuv to make it hefker, but absent my making it hefker, it still remains mine. And therefore, someone who comes in and takes it is stealing. The mabit seems to assume Rachmana afkera leperos. Kodesh Baruch Hu makes the peros hefker. Whereas the Beis Yosef in his Tshuvos, one of the lesser known svarim that the Beis Yosef wrote, he wrote Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, Kesef Mishnah, those are the ones that everybody knows. A little bit lesser known is the Shavuos Tshuvos Avkas Rochel and the Magen Meisharim. Those are the two lesser known svarim that the Beis Yosef wrote. Magen Meisharim was from his Chavrusa with the Malach. People forget that he was a big makubal also. He wasn't just the biggest posek in Jewish history. Not Jewish history, but one of the biggest posek in Jewish history. But in the Tshuvos, Avkas Rochel, he says, no, it's a mitzvah on the Bailim to be mafkir. So maybe that would parallel. It's a very similar idea. Again, so we find this, the lamdus we find in three places. We find it by Shemitah of Kesef, Shemitah's Ksafim. Is it that Hashem makes the loan go away, or that I have a chiyuv to make the loan go away, but if I don't do it, the loan is still there? We find it perhaps by ribbis. Is it that by ribbis meikara, there can't be any chiyuv ribbis, so the loan just doesn't exist, the ribbis part of the loan doesn't exist? Or do we assume, no, I have an isser to charge ribbis, but if I demand it, that was the deal, and therefore but the chiyuv mamon is still there, and we have it by the hefker of the peros of shviyas. Do we assume that I have that the it's automatically hefker, or that I have a chiv to make it hefker? That's the lumdus. Now you could be mechalek between that case and our case as well, but I just want to get to another couple of issues before we conclude. We said Shemitah cancels the loan. When at what point does the Shemitah cancel the loan? At what point during the year does Shemitah cancel the loan? So the Torah says in last week's parsha, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Aleph, right here. Miket Sheva Shanim Tase Shemitah. What does it sound like? Miket, we know what the word means. Miket means at the end of 7 years. And the Mitzvah of Hakel, it also says, at the end of 7 years, during the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Now, when does Hakel happen? When's the Mitzvah of Hakel? That's always after the Shemitah year is over, right? That's Miket. It's after the Shemitah year is over. So the Gemara in Arachin, in Chav Chesam Al, from the Sechs Arachin, says, often pronounced Erechin, but that's incorrect, says that if they use the same expression, Miket, Shevashanim, in both places, so it must be some at the same time. And therefore, Shemitah cancels alone only at the end of the Shemitah year, not at the beginning of the Shemitah year. Good, and that's Shitas Rashi, that's the Shita of the Rambam, that seems to be the Pasha Pshat. The Rush, however, quotes a Tosefta Mesecha Shviyas, which sounds like Shemitah cancels at the beginning of the Shemitah year. Because the Tosefta in Shviya says, when do you write a prosbul? You write a prosbul on Erev Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah. So what does that mean, Erev Rosh Hashanah? Erev, the Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah, not Erev Rosh Hashanah when you're, the Erev is in Shemitah. It means the Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah, the day before the Shemitah year starts. So he says, okay, so says the Rosh, what do we do with that Tosefta? It's against the Pesukim and Chumash. So the Rosh says a strange thing, difficult thing to understand. He says, the Chov is only cancelled at the end of the year, but the Isser to demand the Chov already begins at the beginning of the Shemitah year. It takes effect right away. So from the very beginning of the year, you can't demand any payment, but the Chiv Mamon remains in effect until the end of the year. Other Rishonim aren't so happy with the Rosh, and they say, no, everything happens at the end of the year. You don't have to worry about the Tosefta over there. Everything happens at the end of the year. So what do we pass from Shulchan Aruch? So it's somewhere here in the Mar Makomel, Shulchan Aruch, Siman Samach Zayin, Se'if Lamed, Shulchan Aruch passes clearly, Shemitah year only cancels at the end of the year, and therefore, if you want to collect your debts during the Shemitah year, don't worry, you don't only have a month left to collect your debts right now, you could even collect during the Shemitah year, the Shulchan Aruch says, and that's fine. Not only that, if you lend somebody money during Shemitah, you can still collect the money during Shemitah. You just can't collect it after Shemitah. However, a lot of poskim assume that we should be machmir for the Shitas HaRash and write up a prosbul even before Shemitah year starts. So we should write two prosbuls, according to many poskim. Shulchan Aruch Rav writes this way. I assume Lubavitcher Chassidim do this, and many others also. Rav Rimon quotes Rav Aaron Lichtenstein as machmir this way. I don't know how many people he lent money to, but people write a prosbul both at the beginning of the Shemitah year and at the end of the Shemitah year. Now, if you write a proposal at the beginning of the Shemitah year, you still have to write one at the end of the Shemitah year, just in case you lent anybody money during Shemitah, meaning for it to cover the loans of that took place during the Shemitah year. So at the end of Chodesh Elul of the Shemitah year, you have to do it again. But that's a major machlokus Rishonim, and it seems to be that, again, it's clear in Shulchan Aruch that we paskin that it's really only at the end of the Shemitah year, but nevertheless, many, many are choshesh for both shitas. Now, just a couple of quick examples of different types of debts. The Gemara Makos, Tav Gimel and Beis, tells us that there's a machlokas. What if you have a loan, a mortgage, let's say? You have a mortgage, which is a 15-year mortgage, a 30-year mortgage. There are going to be shmitas, obviously, in within the term of the loan. So does Shemitah automatically cancel the loan, or does Shemitah not cancel the loan? So the Gemara Makos says, Machlokas, where the Shemitah cancels a 10-year loan. The Rush quotes the Riva, who says Shemitah does cancel such a loan. Tosos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, says, no, it's not canceled by Shemitah. And that's the sheet of the Rambam, the Ramban, the Ritva, and the Shulchan Aruch, that it's not canceled by Shemitah. Why wouldn't Shemitah cancel such a loan? So the Lamdus is that if you... The Gemara explains that the halacha is that you're not allowed to force him to pay you what he owes you, but it has to be something that he otherwise would owe you, meaning that absent your iser to demand it, he would owe you the money already. But if it's a 10-year loan and it's only year 7, he doesn't owe you the money yet. So the situation of Shemitah is triggered by a situation where someone would have had to pay you, and then you have an iser that you're not allowed to demand that he actually pay you. But if it's a situation where he wouldn't have to pay you because the deal is not supposed to pay you for another 3 years, then the halachos of Shemitah aren't triggered yet. There are many, many other halachos. I guess sometime throughout the course of the year we'll have an opportunity to discuss them. I think next week we'll move on, though, to a different topic.